Friends, it has been nearly 2,000 years since Pentecost. And given that the Lord Jesus promised the world he would return in glory to bring the kingdom of God to the whole human race, we may well wonder, where is he? Why is he taking so long to come again? But these very same questions were asked during the first months and years just after Christ's resurrection and ascension. And so from the beginning, the church has been deeply puzzled over the timing of the last day. Why does the Messiah delay? That is why St. James addressed these uncertainties in his New Testament letter, from which our second lesson is taken today. Be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, being patient with it until it receives the early and late rains? You too must be patient. Make your hearts firm, because the coming of the Lord is at hand. And yet here we are, 2 millennia later, still waiting, not always so patiently, for the coming of the Lord. Part of the problem in our perception of the supposed delay of Christ's return is how we experience time, which is a dimension of the created universe by which the Creator is not bound. Our lives are only 75 or 80 years long on average, which makes it difficult in the extreme for us to reckon with cosmic time. But by our best educated guess, the cosmos seems to be about 13.8 billion years old. Billion with a B, give or take 200 million years. And the universe contains hundreds of billions of galaxies. Our small Milky Way galaxy is nearly the same age as the rest of the universe, at about 13.6 billion years, but our sun is a youngster at 4.6 billion years of age, while this Earth is a cosmic baby at only 4.5 billion years old. We think that animals began to appear out of our oceans about 430 million years ago, and then the dinosaurs arrived about 200 million years after that. They flourished for over 180 million years, until all the dinosaurs and most animals died in a cataclysm 66 million years ago. So the universe is three times the age of the Earth, and our planet existed for more than 4 billion years without any animal life on dry land. Friends, this whole universe in all its glorious complexity was created from nothing by God. And the development of the cosmos is directed continuously by his eternal purpose through the constant creative act of the divine Word of God, the eternal Logos, by whom and for whom all things were made, including time itself. And because everything in existence was designed and made by the Logos, the universe is therefore logical, reasonable, and understandable, rather than random, irrational, and incomprehensible. Our species seems to have appeared in Africa a few hundred thousand years ago, although the archaeological record of bones and tools is bewildering in its complexity and uncertainty. What we can say with relative confidence is that Homo sapiens began living in communities outside of Africa about 70,000 years ago, and the oldest surviving human artifacts known to us are about 40,000 years old. Then cities began to appear about 10,000 years ago, while the oldest known written languages were composed only around 5,000 years ago. So it took 13.8 billion years to go from the creation of the universe to the creation of written language, which means that if the history of the universe were condensed to a scale of 24 hours, human civilization would have been here for about 60 milliseconds, or literally less than the blink of an eye, and the faith of Jews and Christians would have existed for less than half of that. And yet, despite this extraordinary timeline, we are impatient, for Christ to come back and conclude the story of man's salvation. One remedy for our impatience is to look at salvation history in the context of both geological time and all of cosmic history. Perhaps then we can understand that even after 2,000 years of Christianity, we may still be in the very earliest hours of the church's history. Or maybe not. We cannot know, and we will not know, until the risen Lord Jesus returns in glory to judge the living and the dead and bring the full and final consummation of the kingdom of God to all the tribes of the earth. And so once again, we must learn from the wisdom of St. James. Be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. Make your hearts firm, because the coming of the Lord is at hand. And that is true, even if the final return of Christ is eons ahead in the future. But while we wait patiently for the coming of the Lord in glory on the last day, we must also remember that he is already here. At his ascension to God the Father, the risen Christ promised to remain with us always. And by the gift of the Holy Spirit, the Lord Jesus fulfills that promise in several ways. In the church, which is his body, Christ is present whenever Christians gather to pray in his name. The Lord Jesus is present in the poor, the sick, the imprisoned, and the immigrant whom we serve in his name. The Savior is also present in the God-breathed scriptures of the Old and New Testaments, which are human words speaking the divine word. And the Messiah is present in the seven sacraments of the new and everlasting covenant, above all in the most holy Eucharist, in which we adore the same risen Christ now worshiped by the saints and angels in glory. In the blessed sacrament of the altar, we have communion with the risen Lord Jesus of the most immediate and intimate kind. And the Holy Eucharist is our food for the journey that will sustain the church's watchful patience until the end of days, no matter when that should come. But if most people are unaware of the presence of the Word made flesh among us now in all those ways, remember that nearly everyone was unaware of his first coming among us as a helpless child, the babe of Bethlehem. And even during the 3 years of Christ's public ministry, most people could not believe that the Son of Mary was truly God the Son, the eternal Word by whom all things were made, even when they saw his signs, the miracles which revealed his divine glory. And that is why John the Baptist, from his prison cell, directed his own disciples to seek out the Lord Jesus, whom John had already acclaimed at the River Jordan to be the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. John, of course, had known from his womb that his kinsman Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us. And Jesus, in turn, knew that John was his forerunner, the messenger sent to announce the coming of the Lord, the last prophet of the old covenant and the first prophet of the new. And now the end of John's life was approaching, and it was time for him to decrease so that the Lord whom he served would increase in the understanding of all those who seek to know, love, and serve the living God and to worship him in spirit and truth. So John sent his disciples to Jesus with this question: are you the one who is to come, or should we look for another? Jesus said to them in reply, go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind regain their sight, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have the good news proclaimed to them. Those were the signs which bore witness to the truth that Jesus Christ is Lord. But with the death of the last apostle, those signs went over into the sacraments. Yes, there are still miracles from time to time, but now the church herself and the seven sacraments are the signs that the Savior is here with us to give the life of grace to all who welcome him with faith, hope, and love. In Christ's church, the marks of the Messianic age are made visible when we live the life of the new creation, primarily by the way in which we worship the Lord and treat other people and serve them as we would serve Christ himself. The prophet Isaiah describes this life of grace in today's first lesson. Strengthen the hands that are feeble. Make firm the knees that are weak. Say to those whose hearts are frightened, be strong, fear not. Here is your God. He comes with vindication. With divine recompense, he comes to save you. Then will the eyes of the blind be opened, the ears of the deaf be cleared. Then will the lame leap like a stag, and the tongue of the mute will sing. So when will the Lord return in glory? We cannot know. But we do know that he is already here in word, sacrament, and service. And when we see Christ by grace through faith in all the ways he presently dwells among us, then Isaiah's vision is fulfilled in the church. Those whom the Lord has ransomed will return and enter Zion singing, crowned with everlasting joy. They will see with joy and gladness. Sorrow and mourning will flee. And friends, here we are, just as Isaiah foretold, singing with joy the praises of Emmanuel, God with us. So is Jesus the one who is to come? Yes, he is. The Lord Jesus is the Word made flesh, who came first as a child to suffer and die and rise to new life. The same Messiah comes now in word and sacrament to make us holy by uniting us to himself. And the Lamb once slain who lives forever will come in glory on the last day to make all things new. And for that day, we watch patiently, even as we pray eagerly, Amen. Come, Lord Jesus.